The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 30th day of November. We're just a couple hours, 2 hours away from December right now here in Ohio. And tonight, we have, like always, we have a whole lot to talk about. So let's go. We have on the board, ready to stand and defend our freedom, is the mighty Andrew.
Hello, Pastor, and everyone else.
All righty. And out yonder, we have that Missouri preacher and parson, Joe Larson.
I wonder when you started using Parson, but anyway, be that as it may, I'm still glad to be here working with you, boss.
Well, you know, Parsons, you know, that was quite a common term, even when I was a young guy out down south and out there, even in Missouri. Yeah.
You but still I was a northerner, not a southerner.
Well, you're not the only Parson out there.
In no, fact, not the only one around.
You're not even the only Parson Larson. We got two of them in this ministry.
Right. So, we've heard that you called it larceny.
And, yeah. All right. Okay.
Just stick to preaching. And if we try the humor, we'll lose an audience share.
Well, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, Joe. That's the title of the message. And let's pick it up where we left off in Philippians chapter 4. Why don't you read me verses 4 through 7?
4 through 7.
Mm-hmm.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Joe, one time when I was arrested for preaching in front of an abortion mill, they had me out there, and they really couldn't charge me anything, but they arrested me, and they put me in a cell, and I was in a cell between two drug dealers, and they had been in there for a number of crimes, one on each side of me. And these guys they knew who I was. And so here the opportunity came. So a very strange thing happened, you know, with the one. Here, as you know, they have their little toilets in their cells.
Right.
A female officer was standing there talking to the one inmate while he was sitting on the toilet, okay? I didn't think it was the right thing to do. But anyhow, so I started preaching them heaven sweet and hell hot. And I mean, on salvation, on repentance. And they were calling, please, please, get him out of here, please, you know. And so, but I had a captive audience. But I was rejoicing in the fact that I had someone there that they're going to hear the message right now. Another time, what happened when they bring you in, they have this like little holding thing. Now, the cops that brought me in really didn't want to arrest me, okay? In fact, they went out of their way to say, look, we didn't see you. Get out of here. Get out of here. Because they had put a warrant out for me for doing the very same thing, for preaching against the sin of baby raping murderers, okay, at the killing center there. And so I said, well, you guys have a warrant? And they said, yeah, we got a. And they said, so get out of here. We didn't see you. And I said, well, listen, you guys are the good guys. What if you're gone and the bad guys, the cops that were on the payroll, they show up? They said, you got a good point there. So I went with these guys. Now, let me just give you an example. You know how normally what they do is they handcuff you and put you in the back seat?
Right. Okay.
Well, in my case.
And they handcuff them tight because they don't like us.
Right. In my case, there was no handcuffs. The windows were open. Okay. And so when we got there, they really go through you and search you up and down, and nobody searched me. I mean, I could have had guns, knives, and they didn't even search me. They brought me in, and then you know how they give you your phone call? You can go make a phone call?
Mm-hmm.
These were the good cops. They said, listen, it's on us. Call whoever you want. You know, wherever you want. The phones are all yours. But unfortunately, in that little cage that they threw me, they brought a prostitute in there who just got arrested again and brought in for prostitution. And she started giving me a sad story, and I gave her the gospel message. In other words, I was able to preach, and she repented. And that was the reason I'm saying all of that is this. Paul is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He's doing that from a prison cell. He was in a prison.
Where he is.
Yeah. And so, but he's rejoicing, and you know, how many times we've had our Operation Rescues out there, and we've had several people, you know, I mean, 40 or 50 people arrested at one time for doing the right thing, for saving babies. These are people that have higher character. You have a lot of these prissy preachers out there that would never have the courage to do anything to get arrested. They just don't, flat out, don't have the courage to stand up like they should. If they had the courage and had the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions, we would not have over 100 million dead babies in this country had they had the courage to begin with, but they didn't. They let God down. They failed God, and they failed the babies, and they failed the country because a lack of courage. And so I just...
When he says always, we're even supposed to thank him for the trials and tribulations that come, because often they prepare us for things. I went through some years in a hospital bed and surgeries and different things, and the next thing I knew later in life, the Lord had me be a pastor in hospice. And when people would tell me they were afraid or they were going to have a surgery or something was, they were having trouble handling their pain, their fear, boy, could I relate. And I realized God was just preparing me for a work that he had in mind.
He'll do that, won't he?
He will do that. He will prepare you one way or the other. But when it says always, that's what he really and truly means. We are to even praise him during the hard times, the bad times, the fear, the pain. We are to praise him always.
Amen. Then he says this, Joe, be careful for nothing. And so when he says be careful for nothing, that means it simply means don't worry. He's telling
don't worry.
You not to worry. Now, what does Paul know here? Paul knows for absolute. Is there any question in Paul's mind here about his future?
No.
He knows that his troubles are soon going to be over, huh? The Lord himself told him.
Right. The Lord made it real clear. He had a face-to-face confrontation. He knows.
Right. And so here, well, not only that, but the Lord himself personally tutored Paul for 3 years out in the desert. Okay, and so here, when he says, but in everything, that be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. How do we make our requests be made known unto God?
Through our prayers, through our daily prayer time.
Absolutely. This is why we understand, okay, the importance of prayer. And tonight we're going to start out by praying that God will give that court tomorrow. That God will give that court the honor, the courage to do the right thing. That God will put the fear of Him, that these people might. This is a horrendous thing, America's national sin, the killing of its children, the transgression of God's laws, the evilness, and you know,
the shedding of innocent blood. God said He hates, and all through the Old Testament, hates the shedding of innocent blood.
And the wages
to be more innocent than an unborn child.
And the wages of sin is death, and we've got so much. Every day you talk about how many people have died now. Listen, you know, there's so many people dying in this country because the wages of sin is death again. And, you know, the Bible calls for repentance. I had someone say, what was that question? It was, I know. My pastor refuses to preach on resistance to tyranny. What should I do? Well, first of all, I would recommend you do a couple things. One, tell him to read Hebrews chapter 11. Then number two, find a pastor that's saved. And attend that church, right? But
yeah.
But because, again, resistance to tyranny is always obedience to God.
Obedience to God. And He wants us to be bold and preach His word in season, out of season. He wants it preached to the people, especially those that need to hear it the most.
And so, yeah, and then he goes on and he says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Now, Jesus refers to that peace earlier. In fact, if I remember, it's right over in John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so here, the end result of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives is deep, deep, deep and lasting peace, Joe. And unlike worldly peace, which is usually defined as the absence of conflict. This peace is confident assurance in any circumstance with Christ's peace that we have no need to fear, huh?
I think a couple of nights when I've done, when I do an altar call, I talk about you will find this unbelievable peace in your heart. It's so hard to describe in words. But no matter what has befallen me in life, what happens during the day, a born-again believer always has that peace because we know our salvation is assured. We know that God is on His throne in control. And we know that His will is going to be done. And no matter what happens to us in this body, we have eternity to spend with Him, and that's our reward, and we should have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about, and we have just that. It's a calmness that you can't explain unless you feel it, right?
One of the things that that I like so much about the church that I pastor is that peace that passes on its tent. You have the people are joyful in there, and it's a genuine. It's not it's not a joy that comes from being entertained or a joy that comes from, but it's for real. People are thankful because they know that God is on the throne, and like it says, we have that big sign right out in the front yard that said, "Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with power, wisdom, and love." And He's on the throne. He is in complete control. And so now to us, that gives us that peace that passes all understanding because, see, there's no doubt. I mean, there's absolutely no question. You know, God always does what He says He'll do, and we have that peace. But well, I'm going to tell you, the one thing that makes the opposition angry is seeing us with that peace, seeing God's people happy and not worrying and not angry about everything, okay? And it really gets these, You know, like the what is it? The View, those women on The View, the way they get so angry, or these pro death people, I mean that love death, and I'm gonna pray tonight at some point that Warren Buffett, he just had an article came out, he gave like $200 and something million to kill babies. Okay, these are wicked people, these pro death people. For example, you had this Jenna Sheehan, U.S. Senator. She's warning the Supreme Court, Joe, if you overturn Roe v. Wade, you're going to have riots and rebellion. Well, I've got a warning for you, Gina Sheehan, and this is an absolute fact, and I'm going to tell you it's a fact. Unless you repent and turn away from your wicked ways, you're gonna have... Well, you're going to spend eternity in hellfire, and that's a reality. You and all, yep.
Yeah. God's judgment in this nation, if we continue destroying his precious children that he created in his own image, there will be judgment. Somebody used the word hell to pay. No, it will be God's judgment, God's wrath.
Absolutely.
That will be paid.
And so, again, like I said,
will not last forever. Amen.
He's long-suffering, but he's not slack when it comes to... No. When it comes, he's going to give you the whole nine yards. They're going to get, aren't they?
They will. We've been warned and warned. In fact, that's one of the jobs as watchmen on the wall, to warn the people, tell them, hey, God wants this nation to repent, to turn from its wicked ways, and the first thing he wants is to have the killing of the children stopped, the shedding of innocent blood.
Absolutely.
In my mind, that's his number one priority.
Go over to, well, I think the number one priority would be the Great Commission. Yeah.
Yeah, what I meant.
That's number two.
The horrible things we're doing wrong.
But that's number two. That would be number two, absolutely. Now, go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and read me verse 7.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Joe, Paul mentions three things here, three characteristics of the effective Christian leader, okay? This is what he's talking about. Now, one, power, two, love, and a sound mind. Now, we as born-again, blood-washed Christians, Joe, now we have access to all three of these because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, we, Joe, are not confused. We have a sound of mind, Joe. We're not confused. And I asked the people in the church, I said, well, let's see if, you know, I'm going to test you on this to find out if you're, you know, if you have this sound of mind, not like to her. How many of you in here know what gender you are? Every single person in the church knew what gender they were, Joe.
No confusion, right?
Right, okay. Now, I asked them again, now, how many of you know what the genders of the other people in here? And they all knew. I mean, I could ask anyone in there, okay, point me out a man or a woman. Now listen to this, Joe, because now I'm getting deep. How many of you in here, okay, will have the same gender next week or next month that you won't ever change that? And every one of them, Joe, said that they were never going to change the gender. What do you think of that?
I think they were smart enough to know they can't change it if they wanted to.
Right, okay.
They can fake things, but they cannot change what they are genetically.
Then I ask them this. How many of you in here took the poison poke, the bioweapon, in your arm, and not one hand went up? Okay, and because every person there, Joe, knew that it wouldn't be real smart to take the poison, huh?
And you haven't had massive deaths throughout your church, have you?
No, uh-uh. Now, the only people that did was a fellow that would come maybe four times a year, and he went, and after watching the film that we showed you, we did it on that during our current event, he let his doctor convince him. He watched the film on Sunday. He let his doctor convince him to take the poke on Tuesday. And on Thursday morning, he died of blood clots. And so,
you know, that just reminds me, there's a story out. There was a Texas man, 49 years old. He was forced to take the Vax to remain on a lung transplant list, and he died after receiving the second shot of Moderna. Well, they had to take him off the lung transplant list.
Yeah, well, we had one here at the Cleveland Clinic that was on the list, and they removed him because he wouldn't take the poisonous poke. Now here...
Well, he might be luckier than this guy that took it and died.
Yep. Now, I asked them, how many of you are aware of the insanity of the left? Okay, and everyone was aware of the insanity. So we know, Joe, with no uncertainty at all, that we were made in the image of God. We know that what? We are triune beings, body, soul, and spirit. Mm. Now, and so, and we know that we have eternal life when we leave this world. We got God's guarantee. We've got God's word on it. Now, our enemies believe that they had their beginnings with, they kind of crawled out of some primordial slime, Joe, and they kind of crawled out of there, and I guess they just kept growing and crawling, and along the way, they developed arms and legs, and then they just kept growing, and they got a head, and even a brain where they could start to think now. And this is where they came from. And so I remember when I debated Rob Sherman. He was the president of the National Atheist Association. Didn't last long there. He, when I said, let's start this out tonight on prayer, I was on the Gary D program back years ago on the radio. And Rob, he said, there is no God and no reason to pray. And then I told him, I says, Rob, I can prove creation in 5 minutes. You can't prove evolution in 5 years. And he said, well, how can you do that? I said, simple. Look, right here in Genesis, it tells you, in the beginning, God created the heavens. Look, I look right out there. Look out that window. You can see the heavens. I've been up there.
Yep.
I've been right up there, okay?
There, yeah.
It says you can.
God said they were.
Yeah, God created the earth. Look down towards your feet. That's the earth down there, okay? And then God created man. That, look at me. Here I am. You can hear me. You can see me, okay? And now I said, and let me ask you this. Which one of your ancestors was the last puppy or monkey or snail, and which was the first human? And he just looked at me. I said, look, listen, this is a fact, a known fact. Some of my ancestors may have swung by their necks, but none of them ever swung by their tails. Can you, and that with that, he did had no answer. He was gone. He was gone. That was it. And so
I would love to say, you know, well, you look at your ancestry, according to science, you came from blue-green pond scum. I would rather believe that I'm a creation of a God that loves me.
Okay. See, here's the problem. Who created the blue-green pond scum? You see,
right?
it's impossible. It's scientifically, mathematically impossible to have a creation without a creator. It's never been done. It's never been done. It can't be done.
Science can make something from nothing. Can't happen. You have to have something to make something with.
Well, God can do that. He can speak things into existence, but just by he turns energy into material, okay?
Right.
He speaks it into
his own energy into matter.
But he's the only one that can do that, okay? He hasn't shared that secret with anybody, has he? Okay, no. Actually, he's...
It's a power far beyond, if he had shared the secret, we could not comprehend it.
I hear you. We're going to a break. We'll be right back. Morning on a sidewalk in the city, a lost soul approached me as the snow was getting deep. I could see the look of death. It was there in her eyes now. As I began to preach, she began to speak. She said,
"Preacher, I'll admit it. I've come to kill my baby. The whole world is telling me that I have that right.
But deep down inside me, I believe what you're preaching. Children are a gift of God. We've got to give them life.
So I put my arm around and I gave her the gospel. It was right there in the darkness that she received the light. Two souls were saved, both her and her baby. If you're called to do the Lord's work, you had better learn to do it right. You've got to know how to please Him, not just to please Him. Don't try to walk away, there's nowhere to run. You've had your blessing. Please Him while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's God the Son. Now every preacher knows the rock of his salvation. I will separate the goats from all the sheep. All men are sinners. They all need a Savior. He's the only one to trust in. It's your soul that he'll keep. And when I finish the preaching,
the woman was a believer. A baby in her womb I knew she would keep. And now 25 years later, her baby is a young preacher. She's so very proud of the baby that she decided to keep. You got to know how to please Him, not just to please Him. Don't try and walk away. Not just to please Him.
Don't try to walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count your blessings and do it while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's God the Son. You got to know how to please Him.
Not just to please Him. Don't try and walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count. Please Him while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the soul.
Alrighty, we are back, and we're going to hear a clip from a South African doctor, and this is the lady that found this new what they call Omicron virus there. So let's go and go ahead and play that clip.
What happened is around about the 18th of November, I all of a sudden encountered unusual symptoms of, with actually started with a male patient that's around about the age of 30, 31 roundabout. And never, very seldom visits the surgery. And he said to me, it's just extremely tired for the past 2 days, and he's got this body aches and pain with a bit of a headache. Not really a sore throat, more a scratchy type of description, and no cough and no loss of smell or taste. And because it's unusual for that specific person to present with this type of symptoms, I decided to test. We do rapid testing in our surgeries, and I did the rapid test and it was positive. I then tested the rest of his family, and it's all positive. Every one of them very, very mild symptoms, and that is what we call mild symptoms. And then for the rest of the day, I actually saw more patients coming in with the same sort of symptoms. They all tested positive. I alerted the advisory committee of the minister on the vaccines because I'm part of that committee, and that's why it's easy for me to say to them, listen, something is wrong. I have seen today a picture that doesn't fit in with Delta. And then the beginning of this past week, it came out that this is the new variant going around. So what we are seeing clinically in South Africa, and remember, I'm at the epicenter, that's where I'm practicing, is extremely mild. For us, that's mild cases. We haven't admitted anyone. I spoke to other colleagues of mine, the same picture.
All right, there you go. And so we wanted to play that joke.
To that,
yeah, go ahead.
You know, this doctor, this new variant, the term out there, they're calling it the new scariant.
Yeah.
It's like, there. You listen to this doctor, she said it's very mild symptoms. Now, it may be very contagious, but all the cases she's seen are extremely, that was the word she used, quote, mild. So we've got this, you and I were talking, run, Chicken Little, run from the scariant. Now, there's a doctor or two out there that, with this new variant, if it's mild, saying this could be the end of the COVID pandemic. Why? Because if this is, you know, if it's very transmissible, a lot of people are going to get sick. But if they only get mildly sick, they're going to have antibodies. The natural antibodies we know are many, 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 many times stronger than anything that man's made. And if this goes around and enough people get natural immunity, it will stop the pandemic. So this could be God's way of ending the pandemic, making a weaker strain of the virus that allows people to build up the antibodies naturally. We know the vaccines do not work. The CDC itself came out and said, hey, people who are unvaccinated spread the COVID Delta variant virtually the same as the vaccinated. So in other words, the COVID shots have absolutely no effect on the virus transmission. None. Because there is no different. They've got several studies. I could go into the weeds with this, but they were done different places. And every study came out with the same conclusion, whether it was from University of California, Davis, or Canada, or the CDC, or in Israel, or over in Great Britain. They're the British Medical Journal. All comes out with the same thing. The vax spread. The vaccinated people spread the virus just like the unvax. There's no difference at all.
All right, we knew that. Now, here.
But now we've got the studies to prove it, you know.
Yeah, but you and I know that, and you'll be hearing about it on programs like this, but you're not going to hear about it on any of the fake news media.
No, and they won't be telling people that.
And a lot, and so many of the simple-minded, that's where they get... That's where they get their information. Anyhow, the Supreme Court has its best chance in decades to overturn Roe v. Wade and protect the unborn children. So, Joe, tomorrow, we really need to get all the folks out there to pray with us. We really need to get everyone out there tonight. I mean, if they'll do that, there's power. God will hear that. Now, in prayer, and of course, you were here last night, so you heard my guest, Dr. Jacobs, what he had to say last night. He feels that they're going to really, that they're going to do it. Okay, now, I don't have much confidence in them. I really don't have any confidence in that court. And I do know that they're getting threats already. And there's ways, and you'll be hearing burn, loot, and murder will threaten to burn down the court or whatever. And so we need to get God's people out there tonight to pray.
Right.
And remember, it was not that long ago, Joey Biden. Remember, Joey Biden was out and he threatened two of the judges that were the Trump appointees. You better not overturn Roe v. Wade. You're going to have a civil war if you do that, okay?
Chuck Schumer, remember?
Yeah.
Chuck Schumer, I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. And he screamed it out loud. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. I mean, the liberals come unglued. They have been making threats for a long, long time. They're vile, they're ugly, and they use intimidation to get their way. And it's time that people quit being afraid of these people and their darn threats. We have kingdom authority, we have God's righteousness behind us, and we've got to quit, this nation's got to quit being a bunch of sissies and afraid of everything, because somebody just yells and screams. We don't need to cower, do we?
No, what we need to do is get the people out there to pray with us right now.
Right.
all across the country. So let's, folks out there listening, it's very important that you do that and that you pray with us. So just join with us in this prayer. Just agree with us as we say, Heavenly Father, Lord God. Father God, you have made it very clear in your word that the only thing we are to fear is you. The only thing. And yet, Father God, again, I would ask, Lord, that you would put that fear of you into every one of those judges. I'm not going to call them justices. There's only a couple that I look at, Thomas, and that are actually true justices. But, Father God, I just would ask that you would put the fear of you, Lord, that you would, Father God, even show them a little glimpse of hellfire. Let them know that the blood of all of those millions of babies that have been shed, how our sewers in this country have run red with the blood of our children because the pastors didn't have the courage. They didn't have the integrity, Lord God, to do what they needed to do, to go and march on D.C., Father God, in place that corrupted 73 court on trial for treason against you in the country. And so now, Lord, we've had all of these millions of babies, Father God. And, Lord, there's been some of us have been fighting every day. Well, you know, ever since we've been fighting to overturn this wickedness. But the wickedness is overwhelming. And, Father God, so we would ask that you would put, Lord God, the fear of you and those judges, that they would know that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and that they would know to do the decent thing, the honorable thing, and they would be obedient to you. And Lord, for this woman here, Senator Jenna Sheehan, and all of these pro-death people, Father God, that love death, and Governor Cuomo and those that just love death is celebrated and applauded when they knew that they could kill babies even after they're born. They just loved it. That entire house there in Senate in New York. I would pray, Father God, this, that, Lord, unless they repent, and I'm talking about the pro-deathers all over the entire country, Father, unless they repent, Father God, Lord, I would pray that you would turn that death that they want, that death that they want to embrace, the death that they want for the innocent, that you would turn that and put it on their own heads, Lord. And I know that here they've chosen, many of them, the poisonous poke, and many of them think that they're going to get away with something because they're not really going to take it. But, Lord, we know they can't even trust each other. And we know that. And so, Lord, again, I would pray that you either bring them to repentance or you turn and you put that death on every one of these Democrats. You put that death on their own heads, Lord, and you remove them, lest they can do any more damage to the innocent in this country. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You go ahead and pray, Joe. You can pray. Go ahead, Joe.
Dear Heavenly Father, you know what's on the hearts of many, many Christians out there, the pain, the anguish that we have, especially when we see the world around us silent, uncaring. It reminds us of when the Jews were on trains going to the death camps and the Christians sang their hymns a little louder so they would not hear the cries of those going to their death. This nation has turned a deaf ear, Father, and I know the nation deserves judgment, but many of us have been praying for those precious children of yours. Many have been fighting the good fight and running to the battle and trying to save the mothers and the babies from being aborted and save the mothers from hellfire. Lord, we would ask this blessing that you would touch those members of the court, that you would touch their hearts, and that you would enable them, Lord, to see the truth, that you would give them courage, that you would answer all the prayers of the faithful that have been coming to you for so many years since this dreaded Roe v. Wade, this mockery of our Constitution law took place. Hear the pleas of your faithful, Lord, and give us the victory. We ask this in Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen.
Amen. Tomorrow, Joe, there's going to be a whole lot of people there in D.C., and my good buddy Mark Harrington, who has created Equal, he's going to be there with a whole lot of his young people. And we want to just praise the good Lord for that. They will be there. Of course, there's going to be the unclean, many of the wicked unclean, the hussies from hell. I mean, the most evil, you know, and in Jude, it refers to them as beasts, okay? They will be there, out there with their bloody signs, okay? You'll probably have those wearing their pussy costumes and their pussy caps out there, which they did the last time. Just pure evil, vulgar. I mean, these feminists are just absolutely vulgar, but they're all going to be out there tomorrow. And so, at least we, you know, God's people are going to be taking a stand and doing what God's word, the Bible, tells you to do: resist tyranny unto death. So they will be out there taking a good stand. So let's remember to keep them in prayer tomorrow, out there. Mark Harrington, all his young people, created equal, because America, boy, America is standing in the shadow. We're in the shadow of a holy and a just God. And what does a holy and a just God do where it comes to sin? He's got to punish it.
He judges sin.
Also, today,
Judas. It's a fearful thing to what?
Fall into the hands. Yep. It's a fearful thing to fall into the
hands of an angry God.
Right. Now, you know what today was, Joe? The 30th of November? It was the deadline for the Marine Corps to take the poison. And 9,000 Marines told them to take their needle and shove it, okay? 9,000 Marines refused to take the poisonous poke. And something else happened today, too. Actually, it started yesterday. Yesterday and today, you had two different federal judges. And you had District Court Judge Terry Doughty put a stay, nationwide on Biden's mandate. Oh, by the way, Biden says there will be no new mandates, or no new lockdowns. He said there will not be. So what does that mean, Joe?
Well, it means that Biden's going to keep trying to do, he's going to ignore and keep trying to push and coerce different agencies and businesses to go along with it.
To go, like,
does not care about the rule of law.
He'll always do the opposite of what he says. Remember before he said there will be no lockdowns, there will be no mandates. What did we get? Lockdowns and mandates. So remember, they'll always do the opposite. So when he came out and he said that, that means he was telling his people that he's going to try to do more lockdowns. Look, they know.
Or get other governors to do it or something. I mean, he can. Yeah, they'll lie, weasel, cheat any way possible.
They've got to stop the midterm elections. They know that what's going to happen there, that they're going to get in those midterm elections in the primaries, you're going to have a whole lot of Democrats that are no longer going to run. Okay, they're already announcing that now. But
they're retiring, many of them.
But what is happening also? Those in the primaries running against the Democrats, you have some pro-lifers running as Democrats, okay? And so they know that, and they can't afford that either. They're the party of death. And so
what I was happy with when you mentioned this first lawsuit Monday was led by Missouri, good old Missouri out here, and it barred the Biden admin from enforcing for vaccine for healthcare workers in 10 states who are employed at federally funded health clinics. And then today it was a federal court in Louisiana, and the suit there was a decision that covered about 13 states. But that judge, that wonderful judge, Terry Doughty,
yeah.
I think that's how you pronounce it. But anyway, he added that nationwide injunction, and these are not some of the most conservative courts in the country. this issue is so clear-cut as far as the Constitution goes that even a lot of these liberal judges are saying, no, there's no thing in the Constitution that gives the federal government, let alone different branches of it, that kind of authority. And it's going to be, they're going to try and take it up to the Supreme Court, but this is one that's going to hold. There's no.
It wasn't even 6 months, 7 months ago that Nancy Pelosi came right out and said, we do not have the authority or the power to invoke mandates. Yeah.
And then they went ahead and invoked mandates.
but guess who also was a part of that and signed on to that, an amicus brief onto that here, and first of all, our Ohio Attorney General, Dave Yost, but my sheriff was one of two county sheriffs, okay, out here. The fellow that we had on the radio program not long ago was Sheriff Max, and that Sheriff Scott Hildebrand, Sheriff Scott Hildebrand, was one of them that signed on to this amicus brief, and he's a constitutional sheriff, okay, so... we praise the good Lord for that. And I think that's one of the reasons we have so many people wanting to move out here to our area. You can't hardly buy a house anymore. They're all because they're looking for an area with, where you have a constitutional sheriff.
Sheriff.
And so we want to praise
you. I'll tell you where they need one, L.A. County. There is a company called Fujent, and it has direct ties to China, and the ties to China are controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. Well, this they do certain bio testing, and it says right on their website, if you don't want your data used overseas around the world, don't use us because we share all our data, and this is a biological data. So the George Gascon, remember the L.A. district attorney that was put in place there by George Soros and his money, ordered all L.A. County employees to use this Fulgent testing or get fired. Well, China has been collecting, we've told the people about this, personal information from people all over the world, including... you know, any DNA bio data they can get, they are building the largest bio database in the world. And here you have a communist district attorney put in place by George Soros ordering all the employees to let them be tested by Fulgent and shared with the entire Chinese Communist Party. So this is the revolution, folks. This is the Communist revolution in America, and these people are serious. They are going to do everything they can to bring this country down.
Yeah, the sheriff out there.
This is a joke. It's
the
a
sheriff
revolution.
The sheriff out there says he will not enforce that. That his sheriff's department will not take part in that. And
right.
And so we're seeing a momentum shifting to in our direction here. All across, there's more and more people. Now, because of this ruling by these two judges, okay, here, now there's going to be this Saturday a big protest right here in the Cleveland area, and it's going to be, in fact, at Progressive Stadium, and I think it's 11 o'clock, and they're going to have all kinds of people coming out to protest the mandates. And, you know, these companies like Cleveland Clinic and University Hospitals, they don't have any legal standing at all. What they're doing is illegal by doing that. These judges have ruled. That's unconstitutional. They put these holds on. It's not enforceable. So now, do you think a whole lot of lawyers are listening to this, figuring, you know what? We might have some very good lawsuits here. And there's been a lot of people that have been damaged by the policies of Cleveland Clinic and University Hospitals and Progressive and all these companies. They've caused them a lot of problems, just, you know, making them, you know, worry about losing their jobs, just causing them a lot of stress and pain. when here these were not lawful, and we knew from the very beginning they were not lawful. Even the OSHA and the FDA says we can't enforce that. It's not. And so we'll see what happens. These companies, I think you're going to start to see them backing down.
We need the lawsuits to fly. People have to fight back. If they, by the hundreds, start to file lawsuits, companies are going to wake up. And hopefully there are this protest march that's taking, it's a march, right?
It's a big protest right down at Progressive Field. So,
well, let's
yeah.
Hope that just, I mean, let's hope and pray that thousands of people turn out, because you might help save your neighbor's job. You might help save somebody in your family's job, a friend's job. And you might just help put a halt to this revolution that's going on in this country.
Well, you're absolutely right. Here, let me see. Let me just give it to you. I had to laugh, you know, the woke, the politically correct. They try to change the name of the Cleveland Indians, but none of us will call them the Guardians. None of us will. We'll always refer to them as the Indians, because we hate wokeness. We and the woke people are repulsive to us. The woke people are very repulsive to us. And so here they have this big Guardian plaque they put up over the building, and the entrance is huge. And it, guess what? It fell off, and it crumbled. It smashed into the ground. But let me give you I'm going to give the commercial right now. The Cleveland Guardians have mandated the COVID vaccine for all employees. We are calling all patriots and all defenders of medical freedom to join us at Progressive Field on December 4th. We must stand up for our workers and send a message to the Dolans that we will not tolerate unconstitutional mandates. Bring your signs, bring your flags, bring Chief Wahoo gear. There you go. That's this coming. I'm looking for the address of Progressive Field, but it's a corner of Carnegie and Ontario. It's a corner of Carnegie and Ontario there in Cleveland. So there you go.
I'm hoping that this court order, I'm looking at a story in the Wall Street Journal, hospitals prepare to lose staff over COVID-19 vax mandate, and the workers, they gave them a little longer to go to January 4th, but there are lawsuits going on. We just saw those court rulings, but it's talking in this long article about a survey, 30% of workers at over 2,000 hospitals surveyed by the CDC were unvaccinated. And if you take a look at the nationwide healthcare, you know, workforce is about 22 million. So that would mean there were about 7 million people who were yet to get inoculated just in the hospitals. And then you've got these other government facilities. And here's the key. These facilities receive reimbursement from federal Medicare and Medicaid programs, and the Biden administration this month.
All right, hang tight on that. We'll pick that up. We're up against the break, so we will be back right after this. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.